traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Thank you to two New York City cab drivers. Just had a guy, I swear, he was so good. Should have taken me 30 minutes to get through all that traffic. It took about 6. At times I was scared, but I was so impressed by this guy. I wish I had time to find out a little bit more. Many thanks to him. How much do you think I tipped him? Probably should have tipped him more. It's nothing to brag about, so I'm not going to. $10. $10, it was probably a $3 tip normally. And the other thing, and quite frankly, I gave the guy $100. I left my iPad in a cab, and we found the damn thing. I thought, forget about it, never going to see it again. First of all, I had to undergo hypnosis to figure out where the hell I left it. And I came up with the conclusion, it has to be in that cab. It has to be in that cab. I know I left the house with it. I know I was only in 2 places across the street and had to be in the cab. So how do you find that? You look up the receipt. You look up the receipt, paid with a credit card, and then you can actually call the cab company. And it was actually surprising. I thought it was going to be, 311 and never hear from anybody again. Two emails and a phone call, and I was talking to the driver. And the driver came back with my iPad the next day. Just amazing. And why was I so devastated? I was really in a horrible way about it because the thing was expensive. It was brand new. I had lost another one only a few months ago. And I generally don't lose stuff like this, but that was it really hurt. Anyway, thank you to the New York City cab community. And what else? Hey, is Eric Adams still kicking crack of ass? He's still kicking crack of ass back. And I heard he made a big speech about something. Are we going to rescue this city? It's going to have to be, it's going to be up to us. It's going to be up to the people. It's going to be up to, I guess we could use an assist from some big shots, right? Some big shots who are out to do more than burnish their ego. There are a lot of billionaires out there who are just out to, promote their name. They don't want to actually do any work. And a real prime example of this is Barack Obama. Oh boy, did I catch him yesterday? Did I catch him? Did you see my Newsmax show? It's amazing. They're still pushing this. Donald Trump is an anti-Semite because he met with Kanye West. Shut up with that stuff. I'm sorry. First of all, he met with Kanye before all this talk about Hitler. He made a couple of stupid tweets. Granted, they were horrible. They were anti-Semitic. But you know what? The whole damn world changed the subject, moved on very, very quickly. I can totally understand that Donald Trump was not briefed or did not know about some tweet amid the tens of thousands of tweets that Kanye West has put out there. We all know that he's not an anti-Semite, Donald Trump. We all know he's a friend of Israel. We all know that Donald Trump's blood, quite frankly, his blood relatives, his creations, his grandchildren are Jewish. And what do? They try to say somebody like that is anti-Semitic. Meanwhile, anti-Semitism is ingrained into the Democrat Party. Oh, boy, it is. Yes, it is. All right. Now, where is this stuff? Last night, I introduced you. Well, you've heard about it before. The left, they love Malcolm X. And you've probably heard Barack Obama talk about Malcolm X. Malcolm X, he's the, he was an inspiration. Just listen to Barack Obama. He talks about Malcolm X all the time. Before, during, and after his presidency, wrote about him in as many books. And here's Barack Obama in 1995 talking about what a great guy Malcolm X is, who, by the way, is a horrible racist bigot, was totally all those things. Cut 33, please.
Only Malcolm X's autobiography seemed to offer something different. His repeated acts of self-creation spoke to me the blunt poetry of his words. His insistence on respect promised a new and uncompromising order, martial in its discipline, forged through sheer force of will. All the other stuff, the talk of blue-eyed devils and apocalypse, was incidental to that program, I decided. Religious baggage that Malcolm himself seemed to have safely abandoned towards the end of his life.
Toward the end of his life. He died when he was like 43. It wasn't like he was a retired professor somewhere and went mainstream. No, Malcolm X was a total and complete lunatic, anti-Semitic, radical jerk all the way up until the very end. And this is the guy who is like the moral conscience of the Democrat Party. Just a quick refresher on how anti-Semitic Malcolm X was. And I'm sorry to do this to you because he says a horrible, horrible things. And terminology we don't like, obviously. But here he is speaking in Harlem. I believe this is in 1963, cut 32.
Always running around here trying to make you get sympathetic for them. But you was a master at that. Make you shed crocodile tears over what happened to him in Germany. You tell him what happened to you right here. You haven't got no time to cry no tears for no Jews. It's Jews right here in Harlem who run these whiskey stores that get you drunk. It is Jews that run these old rundown stores that sell you bad food. It is Jews who control the economy of Harlem and use it for themselves and for the benefit of Israel.
Did you catch all that? I know the audio is a little bit rough, but Malcolm X saying this. Here's what he just said. Always running around here trying to tell you to get sympathetic for them. The Jew is a master at that. Make you shed crocodile tears over what happened to him in Germany. Yeah, nice guy, right? Wow, this is a really enlightened guy. You can see what a natural attraction he would have for a guy like Barack Obama, right? Let's see, what else happened here? What do they say next? You tell him, the Jew, what happened to you right here. You haven't got no time to cry no tears for no Jews. Okay, and then next, yeah, well, what's not to like in this message, huh, Barack Obama? You crazy freak. It is Jews right here in Harlem who run these whiskey stores that get you drunk. It is Jews that run these old rundown stores that sell you bad food. This is, what's the word? Anti-Semitic bigotry. That's what it is. That's what it is. And then here it goes, the piece of resistance here. It is Jews who control the economy of Harlem and use it for themselves and for the benefit of Israel. Tell me again how you felt about this guy, Barack Obama, cut 33.
Only Malcolm X's autobiography seemed to offer something different. His repeated acts of self-creation spoke to me the blunt poetry of his words. His insistence on respect promised a new and uncompromising order, martial in its discipline, forged through sheer force of will. All the other stuff, the talk of blue-eyed devils and apocalypse, was incidental to that program, I decided. Religious baggage that Malcolm himself seemed to have safely abandoned towards the end of his life.
It was incidental. Part of it, but not the main thrust. And he seemed to abandon it later in life. Seemed to abandon it. See how he's giving himself all kinds of wiggle room? Now, Malcolm X was a full-time crazy person. I mean, full-time. He talked about hateful ideology. Now, I know that guy on Long Island told me to finish the biography, and I will, actually. I'm going to... Now, you could say, well, wait a second, you're playing a speech by Malcolm X, and Barack Obama's talking about the book. Yes, but we have the totality of the body of work of Malcolm X. So if we're really going to cancel Kanye West, you know, am I going to say, we're going to cancel him, right? Get rid of the music and everything. I think we got him. I think we caught him. Once again, this is depraved stuff, but it runs throughout the Democrat Party. Speaking of which, Raphael Warnock is running for, how many times are we going to have an election in Georgia? By the way, we got runoffs, we got primaries, we got runoffs at the primaries, and it's, I guess this is it. Raphael Warnock versus Herschel Walker. Herschel, also known as Herschel. I'm rooting for Herschel. Raphael Warnock, I think I can vote against him just based on this. He ran over his wife's foot with the car, alleged to have done so. Somebody yesterday, I don't want to name names, but they heard me talk about this and like, I need to bring you back to the realm of fact. Raphael Warnock was not charged with the crime. Therefore, you shouldn't mention it. Well, okay, all right, right, right. So this is how politics works, huh? Raphael Warnock is seen on body camera explaining to the police his version of the story. Meanwhile, the wife says, well, listen to what the wife says. Cut 38.
And he just starts backing the car up. And he wasn't going fast. Like, I'm not bleeding, but I just can't believe he would run me over.
Wow, that's really tough. And it's not, you know, that's not Inside Edition with Deborah Norville. That's police body cam footage from Cobb County. That's part of the public record. That exists. It's not some anonymous letter to Gloria Allred. That person exists. And the fake news has totally... And actually, somebody... I was surprised. Somebody told me, well, you really can't talk about that because charges were never filed. Hey, guess what? I'm probably going to run for mayor. And you know what they're going to talk about? Yeah, that crazy crap that happened to me in 2012. If I were running against me, I'd bring it up. I mean, go for it. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to fear. I was totally innocent. But you know what? That's politics. They're going to throw everything at you. They're going to make up stuff. They're going to go through the trash bag. They're going to do everything they can. And you got to know that going into it. But, I mean, just because charges weren't filed against me, like, is that going to be an issue that's off the table? They're gonna hit me about the face and breast, chest, neck, and head with that one. Anyway, I'm rooting for Herschel Walker, and he is actually a very, very, very good speaker. He really is. The tone may not like the it's not, what's the word, mellifluous. It's not the most beautiful. I guess he's no singer. I don't know, but listen to how this reporter tries to box him in. And he handles her like a pro. Herschel Walker is a conservative. I like him. He's still a friend of Trump. He's on the right side of just about every issue in my book. And listen to this. He's good. He's a good politician. Cut 39.
President Biden just said inflation is going to get worse if Republicans are elected. What is your reaction and what specifically will you do to lower prices?
Well, first of all, the reaction is inflation has gotten worse since they've been in office. And what will I do first? You want to get our energy independence back.
That really is a long-term solution. What are you going to do in the short term?
It's a long-term solution because they made it a long-term, because they waged war on it. Well, right now, we got to stop the reckless spending.
I think he's very good. You know, these reporters who've done nothing with themselves other than look at themselves in the mirror and try to get noticed by some executive. You know, going to tell Herschel Walker, school Herschel Walker about the issues. Here's another one of my favorite moments from the campaign. Herschel Walker, the question is, well, you hear the question about anything good Joe Biden did? Cut 40.
We pressed Walker. Can he work with Democrats?
Can you name one thing that President Biden has done that you support?
One thing that he's done that I support. He eat a lot of ice cream.
Take a minute and think about it.
Oh,
is there one thing?
This is going to be a while. Well, you know, I agree with one thing, but he didn't do it. When he said he'll be a unifier, we saw that he wasn't that. He called the opposite side names.
This is great stuff. He's got political skill. Don't believe the fake news. And I guess the fake news is telling me that he's going to lose. And I am worried about this mail-in voting stuff. I am really going to just... It's such a sacred thing, and they've turned it into a cheap Macy's, you know, mail out the penny saver. Who can mail out the most penny savers? Wins the election? No. No, we don't think so. Is it time? Oh, I'm up. Give me a moment. I'll be right back.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
We've made it so hard to be a cop. You know, one of the things about being a cop, it was fun work, actually, for the cops. It was fun, and there was camaraderie, and there was a kind of a brotherhood. You want to call it a sisterhood, too? Fine. It was a team, right? The blue. Back the blue. And we still back the blue, of course, and there's a hideous conversation about law enforcement going on in America, totally unjust, totally out to cancel them, out to hurt them. Remember, my book is going to be an important way to push back. It's called Justice for All, How the Woke Left is Wrong About Law Enforcement by me, available wherever books are sold. Now, one thing here, I was watching the CBS Evening News with Norah O'Donnell, and boy, oh boy, do they spend a lot of money on Norah O'Donnell's hair. Have you ever seen it? It's totally, completely perfect, all right? It's the best hair in the world. As far as the broadcast, it totally stinks. And so I saw this first on CBS, but they weren't the only ones. Everybody. Did you hear about the police chief who was pulled over in Florida? And it's national news because she flashed her badge saying, you know, I hope, maybe you'll let me go. The police chief of Tampa. By the way, why the hell was she pulled over? Her husband was driving a golf cart. When do you pull over a golf cart? What could he possibly? You can't speed in a golf cart. And it actually looked like they were on a golf course, to be honest. It looked like they were on a golf course, but they get pulled over. Now, so the cop gets out, approaches the car, and I don't have a problem with the cop. I think it's some jerk back at headquarters who made a big deal out of this, because the cop, I think, does the right thing. Yeah. Sometimes cops will cut each other some slack and not give each other tickets. Scandal! I'll tell you how I've gotten out of a ticket or two, although then again, I've gotten a ticket or two. But first, this is it, okay? So set the scene. It's body cam footage you're about to hear. The officer, and they're looking at two people. Ellen, what's her name again? Ellen O'Connor is the chief of police. She's in the passenger side of the golf cart. And her husband is in the driver's seat of the golf cart. And this is how it all goes down.
Good. I'm Deputy Chico of the Sheriff's Office. Stopped you because you're driving a tag or unregistered vehicle with no tag on it.
Is your camera on?
It is.
I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say, now that you say you look familiar, so.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Okay. So, all right, folks. Well, have a good night. Staying over here in East Lake Woodlands?
Yeah, we live in East Lake Woodlands.
Okay. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you. So, I'm Deputy Jacoby.
Okay. Same here, my friend.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
Sorry
take care.
To bother you.
All right. No worries. No worries. Like I say, we have a lot of problem with the golf carting around here. You know, everybody.
No, we don't normally come out.
We never
come out.
The club
was closed.
We never.
To the Greek place to get some food.
All right, then. We'll take care. And it was nice meeting you.
All right.
Oh, all right.
If you ever need anything, call me.
Okay.
Serious.
All right. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for yours.
Thank you.
So, take care.
All right.
No problem, right? It's on the evening news. She lost her job. Hey, when you get pulled over by a cop, aren't you hoping that they don't write you a ticket? I think she speaks for all of us. All of us. Especially me. The fake news pounded away at this one in a grotesque fashion. And that poor woman has lost her job. More when I come back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Wow, this Twitter thing is really, it's big and it's getting bigger. No wonder why they want to cancel it. There's a lot of truth there. It's uncensored, unfiltered. Thanks to Elon Musk, and that's great. However, as I was talking to my friend Rudy Giuliani last night, as much as we like and admire Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, we shouldn't have to rely on him for our free speech rights. It's just amazing that it comes down to him. And these billionaires, as you know, they can be pretty capricious. They can change their mind. They can just switch on and off like that. And, you know, can we count on Elon Musk? I'm so glad. Look, and he doesn't really owe us anything. The Constitution, that's what we rely on. You know, I'm now grateful for Elon Musk that I'm not being censored or canceled or reduced or I still see people looking over their shoulders to make sure that, oh, nobody can hear them when they say something about this. And so many people do, even liberals. Liberals are totally freaked out about the conversation in America right now. Of all colors, by the way, I've noticed. But white liberals, oh boy, they're in a weird spot. All right, so do we have this? You heard the body cam footage. Actually, do we want to do John Bolton first? John Bolton, that weirdo. Do you remember this guy? He is what they call a neocon, I guess. He advocated the blowing up of the United Nations. This is a radical, hard right weirdo, and he helped bring us the Iraq War. He, Wolfowitz, all those guys, you know, weapons of mass destruction. We'll go in there. It's a precision strike. We'll go in fast, and we'll go in, and we'll cut the head off of Iraq, and it'll all crumble, and we'll be welcomed as liberators, and all that stuff. John Bolton was basing all of this on some book he read, by the way. Okay? He never served in the military, didn't know a damn thing, like all those guys. All those guys in the Bush administration. It really boggled my mind, actually, that before Donald Trump came along, you know who the front runner was for the nomination in 2016 for the Republicans? It was Jeb Bush. Yeah, my brother. He's the one who got us into that war in Iraq, remember? Yeah, I do. Get lost. Why? The Bush name is Mudd, and it should have been Mudd then. And it was fantastic when Trump, right to his face, said, Iraq was a big, fat mistake. And your brother and you did that. And he was booed. Trump was booed. And that's when I quite frankly said, this is my guy. Because I was like running around with I could not believe it. We invaded the wrong freaking country looking for weapons of mass destruction. That was a pretext, of course. Who knows what their real agenda was. I still can't figure it out. But we invaded the wrong country. Oops, no weapons of mass destruction. Bush somehow gets reelected. Well, we got to fight the terrorists there. Otherwise, we'll have to fight them here. Yeah, great. That's a bumper sticker. You guys helped ruin the world. And now John Bolton wants to be president. John Bolton, because Donald Trump said something he didn't like. Can I hear the word warmonger, the phrase warmonger, it's really kind of a hippie thing. You haven't heard that since the 70s, but it really applies to a guy like John Bolton. For all of his PhDs, for all of his foreign policy position papers, this guy said, invade Iraq. Remember this. They're not smarter. They're not smarter than all those people with those silly credentials. It's just a way to kill time and to decorate their office. And the country is not designed this way to rely on experts. We do not delegate like that. Certainly not to a guy like this. John Bolton, go ahead.
Some news there. You are essentially telling us that you would consider getting into the 2024 race.
Absolutely. I think to be a presidential candidate, you can't simply say, I support the Constitution. You have to say, I would oppose people who would undercut it. You know, we used to have a thing in the House of Representatives called the House Un-American Affairs Committee. I think when you challenge the Constitution itself the way Trump has done, that is un-American.
Let's stay here for a moment. Just walk me through your thinking. What does your timeline look like? What would cause you to cross into saying what you're saying now and actually being a declared candidate for president?
Look, all of the potential candidates know what Trump has said. This is no secret to anybody. I don't see why they aren't saying it right now. I think the voters, the Republican voters, people who choose the Republican nominee, nearly 95% disagree that Donald Trump is more important than the Constitution. I'm afraid there are some who would stick with Trump on this. What does a candidate have to lose by appealing to 95% of the base of the Republican Party? I actually think most Republican elected officials in Washington disagree with Trump on this, but they're intimidated. This is the time where there's strength in numbers. The more people who tell the truth, the easier it is for everybody else.
It's too late for you to tell the truth. It's too late for you to tell the truth. This is a guy who helped lie us into Iraq, and now he's lecturing us about the truth. And, oh, by the way, he's lying every step of the way. Now, what Donald Trump is talking about is not throwing out the Constitution. It's in the context of the stolen, yes, I do believe, it is my hunch. Can I prove it? No. But it is my and I have massive evidence, actually. I know that the election in Pennsylvania was essentially illegal. Now, can I prove to you that the election was stolen? I cannot. However, I have strong, strong doubts about the fairness of the election. Donald Trump does not share those doubts. He's totally convinced, and that's his right. So if the election is stolen, as he believes, there is no mechanism to have another election. Maybe there should be. Maybe there should be. If we find out, well, we found out that Twitter and the FBI buried the Hunter Biden laptop story, didn't they? Right? They buried it 6 feet deep. They thought, actually, it was a shallow grave, and we all found out about it anyway. They buried it, thought it would go away. It didn't. Now we know that the FBI, in collusion with big tech, Democrats, at the behest of the Biden team, did everything they could to protect Biden and hurt Donald Trump. Now that we know all that, isn't it his prerogative to say, well, do we hold another election now? Yeah, I know there's no provision for that in the Constitution. That does not mean it's contrary to the Constitution, by the way. You know, there are a lot of things that we do that you can't find in the Constitution. A lot of things. Hey, oh, by the way, like shutting down the economy for COVID. Telling this old lady that she could not go to Arby's for lunch because she wasn't wearing a mask, and then wrestling her to the ground, arresting her. All these things are not in the Constitution. So, John Bolton, no, he's not. It'll get him on TV a little bit. Nobody with that mustache is ever going to pose any kind of threat politically. We're back to where we were in 2015. I think we almost are exactly in 2015. The Republican establishment was as horrified by Trump as they are today. Only one senator had come out in favor of Trump. Back then it was Jeff Sessions. He's gone now. And the one who supports Trump, the one Republican in the U.S. Senate, I believe, is Tommy Tuberville. Isn't he like a famous coach or something like that, right, from Alabama? Tommy Tuberville. Hey, good for him. I like it. I like him, and he can do it again. Now, I do think, and I say this as a friend of Trump, at some point, at the right moment, he's going to have to change the game, change the tone. It will confuse the hell out of the opposition. And I think introduce him to people on the left. They have nothing to fear from this guy. Nothing. And the more they say he's a bigot, what they're trying to do is protect and conceal and camouflage their own bigotry. All right? Isn't that right, Barack Obama? Who's that guy you're in love with so much still? Cut 33?
Only Malcolm X's autobiography seemed to offer something different. His repeated acts of self-creation spoke to me the blunt poetry of his words. His insistence on respect promised a new and uncompromising order, martial in its discipline, forged through sheer force of will. All the other stuff, the talk of blue-eyed devils and apocalypse, was incidental to that program, I decided. Religious baggage that Malcolm himself seemed to have safely abandoned towards the end of his life.
All that racism and anti-Semitism, incidental. I mean, it was there, but incidental, apart to self-respect. What? Here's a little bit of Malcolm X towards the end of his life, by the way. On the Jew, as he put it, Malcolm X. Always running around here trying to make you get sympathetic for them. The Jew is a master at that. Make you shed crocodile tears over what happened to him in Germany. Oh, boy, what a bad, bad man this is. Next, you tell him what happened to you right here. You haven't got no time to cry no tears for no Jews. Thank you, Malcolm X. Wow, what an enlightened guy. I can see what Barack Obama really saw in you. It is Jews right here in Harlem who run these whiskey stores that get you drunk. It is Jews that run these old rundown stores that sell you bad food. Yeah, it's all the Jews' fault. Right, right. Culprit. They're the go-to culprit in history, it seems. And what has that led to? Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, they should have vetted this guy in 2007, 2008. What do you think, huh? I tell you what, if I found out that Donald Trump liked a guy like this, then we'd have a problem. A real problem. See, Kanye West did not make his life as some sort of sociologist, you know, offering critique. He's a singer. He's lost his mind and his head within the past year. And he saw it. Now he says the most hateful stuff. But this is his brand. This is what Malcolm X was all about. And this is what Barack Obama signed up for. It is Jews who control the economy of Harlem and use it for themselves and for the benefit of Israel. Well, if that's not anti-Semitism, are they going to challenge every Democrat who comes on television and try to get them to condemn Barack Obama, condemn Nancy Pelosi, to condemn AOC? They should, right? Isn't that kind of like logical? I think it's logical. Instead, what do? Every Republican who shows up, they put him through the paces now. Donald Trump said something. We're going to lie about what he said. We're going to take out of context what he said. And we're going to make you condemn what he said. And Republicans, most of them are just losers, and they always get boxed in all over it. Cut 27, please. Cut 27.
Donald Trump was your nominee in 2016 and 2020. You voted for him.
Stop.
In 2016.
Just so you know, this is George Stephanopoulos talking to David Joyce, a Republican who only came to my attention the other day because Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of Brooklyn, the new House leader, is very excited to be working with Dave Joyce. You know what their joint progress, their joint project is? Legalizing cannabis, marijuana. Thanks. Keep going.
Was your nominee in 2016 and 2020? You voted for him in 2016 and 2020. Now he's talking about suspending the Constitution. Can you support a candidate in 2024 who's for suspending the Constitution?
Well, again, it's early. I think there's going to be a lot of people in the primary. Whoever the Republicans end up pick, I'll fall in behind because that's...
Even if it's Donald Trump and he's called for suspending the Constitution?
Well, again, I think it's going to be a big field. I don't think Donald Trump's going to clear out the field like he did in the 60s.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you, if he's the nominee, will you support him?
I will support whoever the Republican nominee is.
It's a remarkable statement. You'd support a candidate who's come out for suspending the Constitution?
Well, you know, he says a lot of things. You have to take them in context. I can't be really chasing every one of these crazy statements that come out about from any of these candidates at the moment.
But that's an extraordinary statement. You can't come out against someone who's for suspending the Constitution?
Well, first off, he has no ability to suspend the Constitution. Secondly,
but he says he's for it.
Well, you know, he says a lot of things. We're going to continue to move forward as a Republican majority and as a Republican conference.
I don't see how you can move forward if your candidate is for suspending the Constitution, but thank you for your time this morning.
Now, suspending the Constitution. Holding a new election is not suspending the Constitution. Yes, it's extra to the Constitution. You know what's actually the result of suspending the Constitution? Arresting this poor lady in Houston for not wearing a mask. Cut 28.
Ma'am, put your hands behind your back.
That's it? It goes on like that. Anyway, the poor woman is being arrested. You know, your business was shut down. Was all any of that stuff constitutional? How pathetic is that Republican, by the way, letting himself get boxed in on this stuff? You know what you got to do at moments like that, Dave Joyce, whatever your name? Think about what Rush would do. Rush Limbaugh. Boy, oh boy, do we need that guy right now. Eddie in Riverdale, hello.
Hey, Brother Greg, how are you? I'm a big fan of you and your dad. I met your dad many times. I got pictures with him.
Uh-oh, there's a butt coming. I can tell it. What's going on?
Greg, I love you, but don't be mad at me.
I'm not mad. It's okay. What do you got?
Greg, I love you. You're my Christian brother. I'm Yugoslavian American Muslim. I'm with you guys. I grew up with everybody. I love everybody. But Malcolm X, he did say some bad things, but he changed his life completely when he converted into Islam. And he also warned us, if you ever watched the speech, about liberals.
I know.
In the minority community.
Listen.
He did warn us about it.
But the thing is, I mean, by today's standards, though, you can't say, well, he said some bad things, but he said some good things. I mean, this is after his conversion to Islam, by the way, this speech that you just heard. Now, Eddie, I did promise a viewer, a listener the other day who told me I must finish the Malcolm X book, and I will. I promise you that. I'm going to take a look at it. But you got to admit, by today's standards in politics, today's standards, you can't embrace somebody like Malcolm X. I mean, if we're going to be fair, if we're going to say Kanye West, right, just having a cup of coffee renders you ineligible for high office. Eddie, you see the contradiction? You see the hypocrisy there?
Yes.
I appreciate it. Hey.
I love all good people. We're all brothers and sisters. God bless you. Salam alaikum. Shalom alaikum.
Eddie.
Your man Eddie from Sutton Place, 57th Street.
Wait a second. Wait, Eddie, are you in, I thought you were in Riverdale. You're at Sutton Place?
I live in Riverdale, but I'm a doorman by Sutton Place, 57th Street, by the corner.
That is a great neighborhood. You ever see that guy from the UN? Who's the Secretary General? He lives right around there.
The Veterans Parade. I gave your dad a big hug at the Veterans Parade. He was marching with Manhattan College students.
Yeah. Eddie, we appreciate it. Thank you very much, Eddie. Hey, it's totally fine. You know, I sometimes jump down people's throats when they disagree. Everybody has that right. I know I say some stuff that some of you may consider out there, but that's okay. I appreciate it, Eddie. Thank you. Oh, I'm a little bit late. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, how about that Kirstie Alley, dead at the age of 71. Cancer. Kirstie Alley, she was big in Cheers, of course, and the Two Men and a Baby movie, wasn't she in that? And also, I remember her most vividly from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. She played a Vulcan, and she was terrific in that movie. Seemed like a really spunky lady. I liked her. I think she was kind of an outspoken conservative later, right? And she definitely did not go with the flow in Hollywood, and that may have given her something of a harder time than she deserves. So I'm going to play that one of those scenes from her in Star Trek II. That was the first time I was actually in a movie. You know, when you're a kid and you said, wait a second, I recognize her. I've seen her somewhere else. Like, that was one of the first times that ever happened to me. And I had seen her, I guess, was she in Cheers at that point? Yeah, she had been in Cheers. Or maybe that's too early. I don't know. Anyway, let's go to Rich in Connecticut. Hey, Rich.
Hi, Greg. How are you? I just want to take issue with the your conservative anti-interventionist views. But if I could just say something about
anti-interventionist views, I'm just not for invading the wrong country. All right. They told us weapons of mass destruction. There were no weapons of mass destruction there. It was a long, expensive, deadly diversion from what we should have been doing. There's absolutely no excuse. You do me a favor right now, Rich. You tell me why America should have gone into Iraq.
Okay. You know that Saddam Hussein gave 70 of his jets to his advanced
All right. You're not convincing me already. All right. We don't send 150,000 guys into Iraq because he got rid of some old MiG fighters, okay, that were secondhand in the first place. I mean, give me a break, pal. All right? Remember the Axis of Evil and all that stuff? And if we don't get them there, they're going to get us here, and weapons of mass destruction and all that crap. It was all a lie, buddy. I don't see where you get off. Why you're interested in sticking up for the George W. Bush administration. They got it 1,000% wrong. So, all right, give me one other reason other than the 70 planes that I'm not worried about.
How about the first? Okay, there's a big difference between the war in Iraq and the occupation. The war in Iraq went fine. It was the occupation that was the total blunder.
Nah, the war. I was there for the invasion, and I was also there for a good chunk of the occupation. And actually, the problem started with the invasion. So we put a real lightweight in charge of it. His name was Tommy Franks. And you know how Tommy Franks became a four-star general? By being a good old boy. All right? You can go very far in the military by being a good old boy. And he came up with these silly slogans like, well, speed kills. We're going to get to Baghdad. We're going to cut off the head of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, and everything's going to fall in line. Well, speed doesn't kill. It just passes your enemies by. And that's why the insurgency lasted as long as it did. The occupation, as you say. I'm sorry, Rich. You're not going to convince me. And I have a hunch that you haven't been to Iraq. Have you? Honest. Honest.
Iraq? No, I haven't.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, Mitch McConnell is on TV right now.
Well, I speak to for all Republicans, and I think for all the American people, when we condemn Donald Trump's reckless remarks regarding suspension of the Constitution. American people must always be assured that the Constitution...
Shut up. They're totally... He falls for it every single time. Falls for it every single time. The fake news, they mischaracterize, they lie, they take out of context things that Donald Trump says, and then they try to get every single Republican to apologize for it, atone for it, condemn Donald Trump, whatever. And most of them do. Most of them do. Now, I'm looking at something on CNN right now, and I feel like Mr. Hond in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. What the hell? Just what the hell do you think you're doing, Spicoli? Am I hallucinating or something? What am I looking at? I'm looking at gold medals being handed out to Capitol Police for their expert handling of the January 6th situation. Next up, let's give posthumous medals to the crew of the Titanic, right? What the hell? This is insane. There was the complete and total failure. Gold medals, right? You know how do they do that? Well, again, it was all an attempt to get Trump. So what did they do? Very cynical move. Remember all those officers who they got to cry at those hearings? Did you notice anything about the officers? One was black. One was a Hispanic. One was a pretty woman. One was a hillbilly, right? To make it very awkward for people like Mitch McConnell to say anything remotely critical of the men and women in law enforcement on Capitol Hill. And they all play this. They all go along with this. Gosh, the truth will set you free. Congressional gold medal awarded to officers who defended the Capitol. That was the problem. How about finding the guy who decided to put bike racks in front of the Capitol and saying, just how much money did you get from the Democrats? Now I got to defend a cop. I love cops, by the way. All right. But we got to be real here. And one of the cops who got a medal in all this is Lieutenant Michael Byrd. I shot Ashley Babbitt because I thought she was a threat. Yep. Well, as she approached, I picked up my gun and shot her. And Lester Holt says, And then what did you do? Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant Byrd. How did it feel to get that gold medal? How did it feel to be criticized by people on Facebook? Oh, yes, tell us all about that. And now, this country is having an identity crisis with itself. And all too often, they take it out on the cops. This woman, I'm really starting to just feel kind of angrier and weirder about the whole situation. Her name is Ellen O'Connor, and she was the chief of police of Tampa until, well, yesterday. So a couple of months ago, she's driving along in a golf cart. Actually, do we have, before the CBS News report, let me hear the body cam stuff that we got, all right? She's pulled over in a golf cart with her husband. She's not even driving the golf cart. Why do they pull the golf cart over? Because the golf cart doesn't have a license plate. I never thought that a golf cart needed a license plate, but apparently it does. Anyway, listen to this. Does this sound like it should be a federal case? Does this sound like something that somebody should lose their job over? Does this sound like something that Nora O'Donnell needs to put on the CBS Evening News? Go ahead.
Good. I'm Deputy Chief of the Sheriff's Office. Stopped you because you're driving a tag or an unregistered vehicle with no tag on it.
Is your camera on?
It is.
I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say, not to say you look familiar, so.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Okay. So, all right, folks. Well, have a good night. Staying over here in East Lake Woodlands?
Yeah, we live in East Lake Woodlands.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, it's nice to meet you. So, I'm Deputy Jacoby.
Okay. Same here, my friend.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
All right,
sorry
take care.
To bother you.
All right, no worries. No worries. Like I say, we have a lot of problem with the golf carting around here. You know, everybody gets out.
We don't normally come out.
We never
come out.
The club
was closed, and we went up to the Greek place to get some food.
All right, then. We'll take care. And it was nice meeting you.
All right.
Oh, all right.
If you ever need anything, call me.
Okay.
Serious.
All right. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for yours.
Thank you.
So, take care.
All right.
Sounded like a pretty pleasant interaction to me. You know, that woman, the chief of police, she didn't say, do you know who I am? She didn't say, you better let me off or else. She presented her identification, which I think she's supposed to do. Actually, I think you're supposed to identify yourself as a police officer in this. I'm not 100% sure about this. Now, why would you do that? Well, what if the cop happens to see your gun? If you're a law enforcement officer and the cop who's pulling you over sees the gun, shouldn't you alert the cop that there's a gun in the golf car or in your car? She just said, I'm hoping you let us go. And that suggests that he doesn't have to. She's hoping. Anyway, some jerk back at headquarters gets a hold of this, and what do? An investigation. We must have an internal review. Hey, one other thing. Remember, she was not driving the golf cart. And you know what else bothers me? I see the guy who's driving the golf cart. Nice guy. And there's a momentary look of pride. You know, he's proud of his wife. You know, the officer recognizes his wife. Wow. I can tell he's proud of her. And I thought she handled herself very well. I have no problem here. And yeah, you know what? I've gotten out of a ticket before. Not a ticket once it's issued. I've never been able to do that. As a matter of fact, I got a court date in a couple of weeks. Why? They got me going too fast over the Marine Parkway Bridge. So they say. I'm fighting this ticket. It happened before COVID, and I've been putting in the date. It always gets put off because of the COVID. I'm sorry, because of Zoom and whatever. It was canceled, this, that, and the other thing. It's been like 3 years. I had a cop let me go because he liked my Yankee hat. I had a cop once. I noticed, I said, oh, you're a Marine, because he had a little Marine Eagle, Globe, and Anchor on his tie, and he let me go. I actually don't mention that my dad's law enforcement, and he told me a story once a long time ago. He was a young cop, and a bunch of kids pulled up to him in a vehicle, and they said, hey, this is Chief Callahan's son, expecting my dad to get all nervous or something like that. You know what he said? Get out of here. What do I care? I just thought that was a pretty cool reaction. So I always have that in the back of my head. Ray Kelly's my dad. I'm sure they would 99 times out of 10 extend that courtesy or whatever. Yeah, it happens, folks. It does. But I've got it in the back of my head that says, what do I care? All right. So what does the fake news do with this? All right. It's on the evening news, which used to be a big deal with Helmet Head. Nora O'Donnell introducing it all. Go ahead.
Well, Tampa's police chief resigned today after an investigation into a traffic stop where she asked for special treatment. Body cam video shows the now former chief asking a sheriff's deputy to just let them go.
Stop. I don't think that's special treatment. I don't actually, technically speaking, she did not ask for special treatment. She identified herself and she's hoping. Hoping. Is that asking for? Keep going.
CBS's Jeff Begays has new details.
A Pinellas County sheriff's deputy was on patrol when he pulled the couple over in a golf cart last month.
Hey, stop for a second. Listen to this guy, the tone of voice. Hey, sheriff's deputy on patrol. Like just the breaking news kind of BS reporter. Oh, this is so important when it's not. Oh, gosh, fake news. Keep going.
Request for me a golf cart, no tag.
Tampa Police Chief Mary O'Connor is in civilian clothing along with her husband, who is driving the golf cart.
Is your camera on?
It is.
I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
Then came what an internal investigation called a violation of Tampa Police Department guidelines.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Hey, okay. If you want to see a violation of guidelines, okay, keep going.
Okay, yeah, I'll say, not to say you look familiar, so.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
Okay, so, all right, folks, well, have a good night.
O'Connor then handed the deputy her business card.
Oh, all right.
If you ever need anything, call me.
In Chief O'Connor's,
you know, it's not like she offered him a bribe or something like that. You know, it's the most innocent thing I've ever heard. And it's on the evening news with Nora Big Hair O'Donnell. Keep going.
In Chief O'Connor's resignation letter, she wrote, "I would never want my personal mistake to stand in the way of the progress I have made mending relationships between the police department and the community. The damage may have already been done. The internal investigation concluded the chief used her official position to obtain privileges not otherwise available." Tampa Mayor Jane Castor.
"But I looked at this particular incident, and it wasn't about a traffic stop. It wasn't about a golf cart. It was about integrity. It was about utilizing your authority to try to influence that incident."
Hey, are you the mayor of the town? Or are you some sort of wannabe pope? I mean, give me the hell a break. Is there any more in this report? Keep going.
"And just so you know, Tampa's mayor, Jane Castor, is also the city's former police chief. She served for 6 years. And by the way, the deputy involved in the traffic stop was not disciplined. He remains on patrol." Nora.
Yeah. What did Nora say? Did she say something? Thank you for that report.
"Quite a story. Jeff Begay, thanks
so
much."
Quite a story, yes. You got to say something, right? Oh, quite a story. I would have laughed out loud. It's a good thing I'm not anchoring the CBS Evening News. I'd be saying, "What the hell did you just do? Jeff Begay, what? Am I hallucinating here?" Some guy, is this, who's Farrell? Farrell's on the phone. Do you have anything to say about this? I understand you're a retired cop.
Retired captain.
Welcome. How are you?
Smartest thing your father ever did was promote me to captain. Anyway.
Well, I think all you had to do for that one was pass the test, right?
Oh, have you ever tried to take that test? It was unbelievable. I mean, the lieutenant's exam, the captain's exams, I
know it is. Actually, look, I know, I remember vividly when my dad took the captain's test, and he came home in a bad mood. He didn't know if he did well on it or not. And they had this weird, not weird, but they used to play the answers to the test on the radio. Do you remember that? They would actually, on WNYC, so you could see how you...
I remember listening to the police officer's exam answers. However, the lieutenant's test and the captain's test that I took was far beyond the test that you've written test that your father took.
Well, wait a second. Well, whatever. I mean, my dad's pretty academically accomplished, but I'm telling you right now, he was sweating. That was a tough test, I know, and he studied hard for it. It was still a very tough test. He passed it on his first try, of course. Anyway, Farrell, keep going. What's up?
"Did not have to take an oral interactive review. You were videotaped. You had to role play."
All right. Hard. But you want to say something about this thing in Florida?
Yes. If you want to go step by step, first of all, that golf cart, they had me getting complaints about golf carts. If you heard what the...
Yeah, step by step. What is the bottom line? I heard Jacoby said, yeah, we have had problems with unregistered golf carts. There's a reason. I get it. But seriously, okay, you think this is okay? You think it's okay for the chief to lose her job over that interaction? Yes or no?
It's not a yes or no answer because...
All right, fair enough. I don't like it when sometimes people try to make me... So then talk a little bit, okay? Actually, it is a yes or no answer, but what's the bottom line, Farrell? I got to go in a moment.
The answer is you made a very big mistake.
Come on, Farrell, lighten up. Come on. Did you ever show your... You got to be kidding me. Come on. She made a very big mistake. Can I hear the big mistake one more time? Do the roll. Let me hear the big, big, big mistake that she made. Hold on, Farrell. Stand by. Stay with me.
"First off, stopped you because you're driving a tag or unregistered vehicle with no tag on it."
"Is your camera on?"
"It is."
"I'm the police chief in Tampa."
"Oh, how you doing?"
"I'm doing good."
"Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight."
All right, okay. Stop. Yeah. Stop. Where's the mistake?
I wanted to go to. The point that I wanted to go to was when she offered her business card.
That's okay. The transaction has already happened. It's not incentivizing him. It's not like... Farrell, I can't believe that you're taking this position. I want to go to Chris in Staten Island. I have a feeling he feels opposite you. Chris in Staten Island, hello.
How you doing, Greg? First time calling, long time listener.
And?
And I'm a former police officer. I just retired a year ago. And police officers have discretion, okay? It's not whether they were influenced, but, you know, we have discretion. The whole problem is that everything is so woke. and everybody wants to blame the police officer. There was no bad interaction there. The officer had the discretion to whether to let them off with a warning or give them a summons. I don't understand what the problem is. And they want to criticize us, but nobody wants to praise the police officer for doing his job. You know, I served for 22 years in this city, and I want to leave this city because they treat cops unfair in this city. They really do. And all we do is we work hard. And I'm pretty sure your father felt the same way because I worked under your father, you know?
Well, thanks, Chris. I agree with you. Yeah, there is discretion. You know, we're not a bunch of robots. You're not a bunch of robots out there. There is discretion. You have to have some leeway. And I can't believe it. I just feel terrible for this person. I feel bad for the husband, too. I'm gonna try to reach out. I bet she doesn't want to do any media or whatever, but I'm on her side. Mary O'Connor is her name. All right, Chris, listen, thanks for the call. Thanks for your perspective. And you too, Farrell. Sorry I got all hot and bothered, but, you know, I just, this is the way I am sometimes. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
The Kennedy Center honors the other night. What the hell was Bono doing there in U2? When's the last time anybody ever talked about U2? When's the last time anybody ever talked about a rock band that wasn't like 20 years old, at least 30 years old? You're not going to see any more rock bands, you know, where a bunch of guys get together, you know, they learn as junior high to play in the garage and they get good and then they get lucky and then they get a record deal and then, you know, they're touring all over the place. And then they put their face on the record cover. You know what the problem is? Because a lot of these rock bands, if they're organic, if they just sprout up on their own, you know, because of geographic proximity, what do you have with a rock band? Think about it for a second. Close your mind. What do most rock bands have in common? Rock bands. The performers are white. Often. Fair enough. You notice how you don't hear about any new bands anymore? Because the moment you see three white guys or four white guys or five white guys on an album cover, that makes the woke left feel uncomfortable. Or maybe worse, they'll just come out and say racism. So you're going to see it's all individual artists, individual. So that's why I'm seeing, like, who are these guys? Oh, it's U2. When's the last time you heard about U2? Anyway, U2 is there at the Kennedy Center Honors. Hunter Biden was there. Everybody is wearing some sort of rainbow collar. They're all in tuxedos, but then they wear this like rainbow ribbon, you know, the gay pride LGBTQ+ rainbow thing. And let's face it, how much longer are we going to pretend that LGBTQ+ are oppressed in America? It looks like it was mandatory to wear these colors. The acronym that's really under assault in the United States is not LGBTQ. It is MAGA. MAGA. MAGA is under assault. This is the strangest kind of virtue signaling I've seen in the last 10 minutes. Give me a moment.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
So how about that? Kirstie Alley. I liked her. I wasn't that into Cheers, but it was amusing. It was on in the background. I remember she went to the University of Connecticut. Remember that episode? What else about her? She was, you know, marched to her own drummer. I liked that. She was independent. Didn't seem to fall for the Hollywood stuff. I think she was a little bit on the conservative side, real superstar on social media, great actress or actor. My earliest recollection was her awesome performance as a Vulcan in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, which was an awesome, awesome Star Trek movie. It was a continuation of an episode from the original Star Trek series. Anyway, she played... can't remember, was it Savick, Sarak, something like that? And she had the pointy ears and everything like that, and it was, like, really cool to see her as a Vulcan. And here she is chit-chatting with Captain Kirk, who I believe at some point tries to, might even be in this scene, tries to kind of charm her a little bit. Go ahead.
Captain's log, stardate 8130.3.
That's her.
Starship Enterprise on training mission to Gamma Hydra, section 14. Coordinates 22, 87, 4. Approaching neutral zone.
Oh, this is the Kobayashi Maru thing.
Normal and functioning.
Leaving section 14 for section 15.
Sulu.
Stand by. Project parabolic course to avoid entering neutral zone.
Aye, Captain.
Here's the alley.
Course change projected.
Captain, I'm getting something on the distress channel.
Oh,
on speakers.
This is the Kobayashi Maru. 19 periods out of all tier 6. We have struck a bravitic mine and have lost all power.
What are you going to do?
This is the Starship Enterprise. Your message is breaking up. Can you give us your coordinates? Repeat, this is the Starship...
Enterprise, our position is Gamma Hydra, section 10.
Told you already.
In the neutral zone.
Yep.
Life support systems failing. Can you assist us, Enterprise? Can you assist
data on Kobayashi Maru?
Subject vessel is third-class neutronic fuel carrier, crew of 8,300 passengers.
This is exciting. What is she going to do?
Damn.
She's not supposed to go into the neutral zone.
Mr. Sulu, plot an intercept course.
What?
May I remind the captain that if a starship enters the zone...
I'm aware of my responsibilities, mister.
She's good. Uh-oh. It's a trap!
Estimating 2 minutes to intercept.
Here's the alley, it's a trap!
Now entering the neutral zone.
Warning, we have entered neutral zone.
We are now in violation of treaty, Captain.
Spock!
Stand by transporter room, ready to beam survivors aboard.
Captain, I've lost their signal.
Alert, sensors indicate 3 Klingon cruisers bearing 3...
The Klingons!
Visual.
Yep, they're Klingons, all right.
Battle stations, activate shields.
Nah, you're screwed.
Shields activated.
Inform the Klingons we are on a rescue mission.
They're jamming all the frequencies.
They're not having it.
Klingons on attack course and closing.
Now what are you going to do?
Mr. Sulu, get us out of here.
I'll try, Captain.
Oh, yeah, you see? You see what you got us into
Alert.
There?
Klingon torpedoes activated. Alert.
Evasive action.
No.
Engineering, damage report.
Main energizer hit, Captain.
You broke the ship, Kirstie Alley.
Turn fire.
Nice job.
Fire all phasers.
No power to the weapons, Captain.
Everyone's dead. Not really.
Captain, it's no use. We're dead in space.
Thanks, Scotty. Always upbeat,
activate
that guy.
Escape pods. Send out the log boy. All hands abandon ship. Repeat, all hands abandon ship.
All right, I'll clear up.
And it was just a drill. Here comes Kirk. Kirk's going to say something funny and profound.
Any suggestions, Admiral?
Prayer, Mr. Savick. The Klingons don't take prisoners.
Damn, he was good.
Lights.
It was a simulation in Star Trek II. But Kirstie Alley got things started in that very good movie. Anyway, I'm very sorry to hear that she's dead at the age of 71. Great person. Wish I met her. I never did. Hey, for more on this and other stuff that's going on in Hollywood and beyond, let's bring in Liba Nessis. She is a fantastic reporter and photographer for the Jewish Voice. She also happens to be a Harvard-trained lawyer, but she knows everything that's going on in the world. Liba, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you, Greg. It's been too long. I'm doing great. I'm here in Miami. I just finished Art Basel, which was incredible.
Crowd. What is that?
It's like a conference with people from all over the world who come in to exhibit art, to view art at the Miami Beach Convention Center. And you get over 80,000 people from all over the world globally. And there's a lot of parties surrounding it. A lot of celebrities come. Dior has a dinner. Prada has a dinner. All the Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana set up booths everywhere. It's a major... And the wealthiest people in the world come. The hotels go for $7,000 to $8,000 a night.
Oh.
And everything sells out. There's crazy traffic. And it's just a huge party all over Miami.
All right. Sounds like it's something to be avoided at all costs. But I'm glad you're there. Listen, Liba, tell us what the hell is going on with Balenciaga. You know, they made those crazy ads with the kids. Totally disgusting.
Yes.
Totally inappropriate. I heard they were apologizing, then they were suing somebody. Where do things stand right now?
Well, I've written a bunch of articles about this for the Jewish Voice, and the title for my last article was Balenciaga Does Nada, because actually they have done nothing. That you have these two very incriminating ads with young girls pictured alone with bondage teddy bears in a campaign that wasn't geared towards children. It was an adult-themed campaign. And then you have another ad where they show a child pornography documents. And then, and in that same ad, you have a book placed there by a man named Michael Bormans, who frequently features babies, castrated babies in his pictures. So you have a whole different, a bunch of incriminating things taking place, and not one head has rolled. Literally, there hasn't been one person fired. The head of the creative director, Demna Gavassalia, should have been fired with his whole team. I ended up looking up everyone on his team, and they all have demons and Satan on their Instagrams. This one woman, Lada Volkova, who he worked with in the beginning days, she has an Instagram with babies being eaten and four-year-old girls taped to a chair wearing swimsuits. And a really very, she had to take her Instagram private and delete over 100 posts. But even what's left, I mean, I haven't seen it because it's all private, but really sick things, kids with skulls, a bloody child's bedroom. This is a woman he's worked with since 2014, who they call the invisible hand.
All right, hold on a second. This is all, it's all disgusting, but I'm getting a little bit confused as to who's who and who did what. Now, wait. Now, my understanding is Balenciaga is, you know, a fashion company, whatever, and they hired some production firm to do this for them. And I read that Balenciaga is actually mad at the firm that did this, but that's a way out for them. They're saying, like, look, we hired somebody to do this for us, and we don't like it any more than you do, and we're angry, and we're actually suing them. Is any of that true?
Well, they the placement of the children with the bondage teddy bears, they take complete responsibility for it. They never said someone else did that. They found the photographer who specializes in shooting toddlers. Demna Gavassalia, the head of the whole company, went out and found the photographer and set up the campaign. The only time they were suing the production company was for the case where the papers of a court case, U.S. versus Williams, which was a child pornography case. They said the production company placed those documents into the picture without their knowledge, and then they dropped that lawsuit. It was a $25 million lawsuit. They immediately dropped it because it obviously wasn't true. They obviously were the end. They approved the documents in the ad, obviously, and the case wouldn't have gone well for them.
Hey,
so they dropped that. So,
all right, hold on. Let me just take a step back. What is it with fashion in general? I mean, they've been doing creepy, weirdo ads on and off for a long time, and one that comes to mind, and I remember it vividly. In fact, I played it on the Newsmax show in the mid-1990s. They did this stuff where, like, it was like a casting call for child models in a basement, and it was really creepy in like a suburban basement with wood paneling, and some older guy off camera is like, wow, you really look nice in those shorts. And it's just, it was the hint was that this was like the build up to some sort of pornographic movie. And anyway, that's just one small example. They've been doing this stuff for a long time. Why?
Well, I mean, it's run by a certain group of people. This guy Demna, you know, there in October of this year, he had a fashion show where all the models walked down and they were bloodied and bruised. Their faces were bloodied and bruised and they have piercings all over. In today's environment, it's always about pushing the envelope and being edgy so that you can drive the media and drive attention and that drives sales. So a part of it is endemic to the industry because these people, you know, this guy Demna said he goes to sex clubs, he goes to sex dens. So they themselves are corrupted, and also they make more money by corrupting society.
Well, what do? We say no to Balenciaga. I mean, I don't care. The stuff seems really overpriced and not particularly interesting. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I have no use for this crap.
Nobody's wearing Balenciaga. Now, if you wear Balenciaga, you will be attacked on social media. anybody who, I mean, Kim Kardashian, you know, stopped, she used to be this great fashion plate when they were dressing her. And I saw her in Art Basel, and she looked like a mess. Her look was all over the place because Balenciaga is no longer dressing her. But I think people really just, it's outrageous that he didn't fire the creative director. He hasn't filed one photographer.
Who's he? Who's the guy who should be doing all this?
Francois Pinault is the CEO of Kering. He's a multi-billionaire. He's married to Salma Hayek, and he's the head of Balenciaga.
Oh, Kering. Now Salma Hayek, she's a real wokester too, right?
Yeah, and he gives a lot of money to woman empowerment, and he just in 2020, he was one of the first people to say we're no longer using models under 18 because it's not healthy for them psychologically. Kering was one of the first people to say that. So it's very strange for him to use kids who are no more than 4 years old holding bondage teddy bears when he knows this issue. And he also owns Christie's, the auction site. And now it comes out that Christie's sells a lot of pedophiliac art.
Christie's? Christie's?
Yeah, they sell art of children with noses of penises.
All right, really no more. I don't want to. I can't. Oh, God. All right, let's just talk about the yikes. Do you have anything to say about Kirstie Alley?
Well, I feel like I really liked her. Like, I really associate her with Cheers. That's from when I loved her. And it's just sad that we're losing so many. You know, she's 71. She's so young. And we're losing all these great, you know, icons. She was an icon. But she really kept a very low profile and kept to herself.
Well, you know, recently, in recent years, she was out there. She was saying all kinds of stuff. Talking to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a shame.
She's like a part of my childhood. I feel like I associate her with a part of my childhood. She was way too young to die. But I haven't really seen her in years. I mean, you know, with.
Yeah. It happens. So, Liba, tell us a little bit about the Jewish Voice and how do we find you there?
Well, I just wrote two articles about Demna and Balenciaga. So if I was a little too factually based, it's because I've kind of been steeped in it and all the people around him. I wrote about the downfall. I called him Demonic Demna because I think this is all about demons. And then I just wrote another article two days ago called Balenciaga Does Nada. And I think we really have to push back on this because this is an important topic. Child pornography is terrible. I mean, it's really something that society has to push back and don't let them push the envelope on this because next time it'll be something even, you know, we can never, never let our kids be even remotely sexualizing.
Yeah, you would think. You know, it's funny. Somebody pointed this out to me today. You'll get in trouble at work for talking about sex with a colleague, right? Somebody you know. Even like in the T.J. Holmes, Amy Rohrbach case, even somebody, you know, who wants to get it on with you and it's all consensual, you can get in trouble that way. Yet, the push is on right now to allow teachers to talk to our children about changing their gender, about sex, all those things. And if you don't want that to happen, somehow you are a major problem. You, the whole don't say gay bill, which was totally mislabeled and that kind of thing. That was just people who didn't want teachers talking about sexuality with their second graders. So the world has kind of come off its axis, if you will. I don't know what I mean. I think God is the answer. Ultimately, I really do. And I hope people get closer to God. But that's another conversation, perhaps, or maybe it should be every conversation. Hey, Liba, thank you. What's your website? What's your Twitter? What's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Liba Ness, LIEBANESS.
Wait a second. LIB.
LIEBANESS, because like leaving is. And then I put all my articles on Twitter and you could look it up on the Jewish Voice. But my individual is LIEBANESS. That's my individual Instagram. And I put link to all my articles.
All right.
And I love watching you and your family, and you have an amazing parents. And they are also in Florida and Palm Beach. You have incredible, incredible parents.
Aren't they special?
That's right.
I am so grateful. And I'm so grateful that you joined us today, Liba, and that you're out and about and keeping us informed.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk later.
You bet.
Ah, good stuff. She's good. Hey, Harvard Law. And knows all this other stuff too. Hey, give me a moment. You folks still have some questions about that golf cart situation in Florida. When we come back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Yes, I know. All right. The wife. Everything all right? How are those babies?
Yelling all the time.
All right. Bye. How is it that she has a office pass? I want to be told when she comes here, great Mr. Kelly, your wife is waiting for you in reception. She comes walking right into the middle of my life, in the middle of, I love it. I love her, but you know what I mean? All right. Got to get, oh, no show tonight. I'm just doing the, she's back. What's up? She came to give me my vitamins. It's no big deal. Thank you, honey. All right. So no show tonight because the Newsmax is having the great big Christmas party. I'll be there. Should be a lot of fun. Joe in New Jersey, as we wrap up this Tuesday, what's going on?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say about the golf cart that I don't think she did anything wrong, but the first thing, her first mistake, was asking about the camera and the recording, which I thought was good, but then later I said to myself, she probably shouldn't have asked that.
Well, you know, what difference does it make, really?
It doesn't make any difference.
But she said, the guy said.
The first thing out of her mouth was, are you recording this?
Yeah, and he says, yes, I am. And she says what she's about to say anyway. She says what she says. I don't know. Hey, remember that, by the way. Next time you get pulled over, you're on candid camera. You know? I mean, everything. Surveillance. Talk about a surveillance state. Everything. I think there are 6 cameras on me right now. And I'm on the radio. I don't know, Joe. I don't like the way this country's going. So anyway, what did she do wrong? Nothing. Or what did she do wrong?
I don't think she did anything wrong, but she probably in the beginning shouldn't have. You know, she asked, are you recording this? Is the camera on? She probably didn't need to do that, but anyway.
When did you retire?
Me?
Yeah.
I guess so, maybe 10 years now.
Are you a cop?
I know. I worked for the Nassau County for a long time.
What town do you live in?
Where did I live? Well, now I moved to New Jersey. I'm near Toms River, but I lived on Long Island my whole life.
All right, Joe, I wonder, cops, you know, this body cam thing is relatively new. Bob, I think, disagrees with you. What's going on there, Bob? He's also from Long Island.
Greg, how you doing? I love your show. This is where I think she made the big mistake. When she asked the cop, is your camera on? He says, yes. What she should have done is not identify herself as the police chief, and she should have said that me and my husband, we never do this. Would you please let us off with a warning? Now, when she identified herself as a police chief, it's on the recording. Then she compounds it by saying, if there's anything I
can... Hey, wait a second, Bob. I mean, you know what? Let's just lighten up here again. I'm sorry. Can I hear that again? Can I hear the raw body camera thing? I don't see a problem here. I mean, go ahead.
Good. I'm Deputy Chief of the Sheriff's Office. Stopped you because you... driving tag or unregistered vehicle with no tag on it.
Is your camera on?
It is.
I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say, now that you say you look familiar, so. Yeah.
She's identifying herself. And she's expressing the hope, Everybody hopes they don't get a ticket when they get pulled over. I see no problem. And if you want to be, you know, what about we got the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Remember, the law is supposed to serve us. We don't necessarily serve the law in a weird way. I just feel like it's a little bit much. Did she technically violate something? I guess, if you really want to go there. But I don't know. Discretion, Bob, discretion. Anyway, Bob, I appreciate it. You get the final word.
My final word is that when she was told the camera's on, that camera is reviewed in the police station. So you don't know who's looking at that camera.
Yeah, I know. It could be some jerk with an axe to grind who wanted to give her a hard time. Anyway, thank you all. Have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.